You probably know that I like to ponder why people do what they do and say what they say and think what they think. And that's very true of everyone in the Bible when I read it too. And since I referred to this passage in the sermon on Sunday, I haven't stopped thinking about it. It just kept coming back to me. Why did Peter say what he said here? Now, we know that Jesus' scolding of him was severe. Get thee behind me, Satan, is a fairly strong thing for the Lord to say. But what he meant was that what Peter was saying was so opposed to the will of God. But it makes me wonder even more how that could be Peter. Now, surely maybe there was some idea in Peter that this was going to ruin his plans because he's, you know, hitched his wagon to this rabbi and said, I thought we're going to go places and see the kingdom come and the world set right and the Romans kicked out and all the rest. Maybe it was, that selfish goal. Maybe Peter was afraid. Or maybe he just didn't understand. Maybe he couldn't bear the thought of anything so terrible happening to his master and friend. Maybe just couldn't understand why Jesus had to die, why the Christ had to be sacrificed and crucified in such a horrible way. Think of it. The Son of God, this Lord of love, the good news of God's kingdom embodied in the best person he had ever met, he had ever known. How could that man have to suffer and die for the will of God? So I think to begin this Lenten season, it's a question we all have to ask and to understand again for ourselves. And the second question that goes with it is just as crucial. Not only why did Jesus have to die for you and me and all of humankind, but why would we follow a Lord who demands that we die to our old lives as well and live lives fully devoted to his purpose, lives of risk and sacrifice and service and hard work with few rewards? Why did Jesus have to die, and why would we give our lives to live for him? That is the central question of our faith. I felt we needed to start our Lent right here. The question of salvation begins in creation. The reasons for Jesus' sacrifice in the gospel are precisely the story of Genesis. God created us out of infinite love with the desire to be in intimate relationship with us forever. God created us out of infinite love to be in intimate relationship forever. He breathed his life, his spirit, his image into us so that we could know him and love him and maybe even love each other. God used to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve, cherishing his children, watching them grow in the grace in which they were born. But so great was this Father's love for his children that he gave them the freedom to choose not to love him, and to treat each other in every unlovely way. Adam and Eve, the children, they broke that trust. They ruined the joy that God had given them. They became selfish and possessive and insecure and sad and hurting and hurtful. The people did unspeakable things to cover up their shame, to fill their need for the love that they had rejected. They broke within themselves the image of God, the love of the Father, who still loved them, but hated the things they did to hurt each other and to ruin themselves, the sins that took them farther and farther away from the love of their God. John's gospel says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him wasn't anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, no matter how hard our human darkness tries. Christ, the Word of God, was there in the beginning, creating all things, giving us life, even as he knew, as he created us, that he would have to come back to save us, to redeem us from the choices that we would make, and to bring us back to the Father who loves us, but in his holiness hates the sin that destroys us. In John 3:16, the gospel explains, "For God loved the world this way so much that he sent his only beloved Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." The Father sends his beloved Son to save his beloved children. At the root of all sin is self-centeredness. St. Augustine said that we suffer from cors curvatus in se ipsum, the heart turned in upon itself. Sin is not just doing things that we shouldn't do for ourselves or not doing the things we should do for other people, but the selfishness that keeps us trying to control the chaos of our own lives, the pride that ruins our trust in God, and the fear that keeps us hidden in shame, the brokenness that keeps us hurting ourselves and each other, the mean-spiritedness and the judgmentalism that we inflict on others and yet so fear for ourselves, the distorted values for things that we crave, and the dark emotions that arise when our needs are not satisfied. God came in Christ to cure our condition, to set us free from the power of sin, to ruin us, our relationship with him and our relationships with each other. God knows our brokenness, our shame, and our fear of being found out, of being found unworthy, our fear of being humiliated and rejected. And Jesus has come to love us with a love that would give us life again, that would start us new again, to restore the joy, to give hope to his creation, to bring his light into the darkness that has infested our world and our own hearts. And it's all because God is building a kingdom of justice and love, and he wants us to be a part of it. He's calling us. The kingdom calls. You remember that a man came to Jesus once. He was religious and wealthy and well-respected. He had a successful life. He had everything he wanted and more, except the one thing that he asked for. He said, "How do I find eternal life?" And I hear him say, "How can I be sure God loves me and wants me with him? How can I be sure I'm good enough?" Jesus understood his question. This man had laid his brokenness before him, the fear, the insecurity, the incompleteness, the lack of God. And this Son of God said to his brother, "It's not about being good enough. It's about God loving you, and he does. So get rid of all that crap that you cling to and follow me into a life with God." But the God-longing man could not. The broken pieces were too precious to him to let go. And it was not just his stuff. It was the stuff inside he couldn't let go of. Another story. The sun shined. The Son of God shined on an unworthy woman who was publicly rejected for her sinfulness, despised for how obvious her brokenness. She broke into a dinner party where she did not belong, and she knelt at the feet of her Savior where she did belong. She broke a jar of ointment to anoint his head, scattering the brokenness of her heart before him. She wept out her longing and silently pleaded for his love. The Son looked at his sister and saw the image of God in her eyes, and he loved her. And she began to live a new life with God. But human sin was too great and the darkness too deep. God's holy love couldn't bear to allow the sin to persist, its power to pervert his creation and ruin his children. To judge his people would destroy them, us, every one of us. The darkness of sin can only be overcome with light. The power of death can only be defeated by the love that is life. The demands of holiness had to be met with a sacrifice more pure and loving than anything in this sinful world could offer. And oh, how God loved his world, because he sent his beloved Son to save his beloved children. If someone asks you what the gospel means, start with, God sent his beloved Son to save all his beloved children. To give his life to everyone who knows they need it. New life now, restored in love, healed by grace, and eternal life to come. And to everyone who would make that choice, who would believe in his Son, they would have this new life in them forever. And no one and nothing could take it away. No fault or mistake or brokenness could undo what God and his love had done. So great was the love of this Son for his Father, so deep his love for his people, that Jesus went to the cross to die for the sins of the world, you and me, taking the power of sin and death to the grave with him, gathering up all of our human brokenness into his own heart. And the shattered pieces of creation came together and began to form into the promise of the kingdom of God. The shattered pieces of creation came together in the heart of Jesus and began to form the promise of the coming kingdom of God. All who would rise to new life with him, who would find the light of his love shining in their hearts, would be able to see then his image shining in the eyes of every other human being. And even if cracks remained in those precious new creations, our wounds would be the very place where that love might leak out, like grace and mercy and love for others in their broken places. And every time we loved, every time we let ourselves be loved, we would find ourselves a little more healed and more alive. And every time we seek to serve and seek to offer this grace to others, we would be shaped more and more into the image of the Son of the God who loves us. That's the best I can do to explain why Jesus went to the cross to die and why we should give the rest of our lives to follow him. It isn't guilt, it isn't obligation. It's simply gratitude. It's simply going towards the love that has made us alive. Jesus invites us into this life, but it's on his terms, and those I accept. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good would it be for you to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul, their life? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what they've done. But, he said, truly I tell you, some of you who are standing here, you will not taste death before you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. He's talking about you and me. We have seen and we will see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. God's kingdom is growing in our midst right now, and we're going to spend the season of Lent discovering what that means. Like a grain of a tiny mustard seed, like seed thrown by a sower, the kingdom of God is growing in our midst and is growing in your heart. I'm going to see what happens when that kingdom calls to us in a new way. Lent is our time of preparing, of longing, of choosing. To leave behind the broken pieces of our old lives and follow Jesus into a new life with God. To embrace his love again, to find our healing, and to set our hearts hoping that we can be a part of his mission to share his life-giving love so that others can know the good news that we have become. Jesus promised that if we would devote our lives to living for him, we would see his kingdom come. It has, because he's here. And the King of his kingdom is calling us to new life in him.